Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
Night two, baby.
How are you feeling? You feeling limber?
I think so. I feel
getting
a little
in shape.
Loose.
You've been running like, scales. Running scales
lubricated.
All day.
I gotta say, okay, so let's just dive right into it here because okay, so our last episode, we did our Dick's Picks draft.
Yeah.
You and I. And then we did a poll today. Have we seen the latest on the poll? I know I was getting annihilated on the
poll. Yeah, I got the updated numbers from Election Central here. So, so we did a little poll on the 36 from the Vault Twitter. Still open if you want to go and participate. Who picked the better Mount Rushmore of Dick's Picks last night? Was it Team Bob or Team Steve?
Yeah.
And if you haven't listened to that episode, I picked Dick's Picks 8, 14, 3, and 11. And Steve, you picked Dick's Picks 12, 1, 17, 22.
Yeah.
Put them head-to-head on the Twitter. And the current, with 252 votes in, I am beating you 64% to 36%.
It's a massacre. Yeah. It's a massacre right now. And I just want to say, like, you set me up to fail with this. Because you picked straight 1970s Dick's Picks, and then you throw that up on Twitter. And the Twitter people, they're going to go for the 1970s, you know, straight vote. You know, if I wanted to be predictable, I could, you know, I made a sports analogy on our Twitter. You know, if I wanted to be predictable, you know, if I was picking like March Madness, I could have picked Duke, North Carolina,
the number one seeds. Yeah.
Kansas, and Villanova. I could have picked that. But I was going a little, I want to throw St. Peter's in there. I want to throw some upstarts in there. You went straight chalk with yours, which was very smart in terms of the poll.
Right.
I just want, you know, look, you have a great slate of Dick's Picks. I don't want to sound bitter here, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of the vote, it was stacked against me from the beginning. I'm picking like a 91 show. I'm picking a 68 show. So I just want to say, You went like a little predictable with your picks, and it was good for you in terms of the poll. But,
yeah.
You know,
is this
sour
going...
grapes? Am I being sour grapes here by pointing this out? I'm just saying, I think you went a little easy. You went chalk. You went very chalk with your Dick's Picks.
Well, you know, and I do want to state for the record that I complimented you on your diversity because you represented the entirety of the dead pretty much in terms of Dick's Picks timeline. You went for the earliest Dick's Pick and you went for, I think, the second latest Dick's Pick.
Yeah, I didn't go
within
for
your four. I respect. I respect. I didn't vote for you, but I respect.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I appreciate that. But like, I'm just saying, because you set up the poll.
All right.
I think you were setting me up there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like Joe Pesci walking into the room in Goodfellas, where he thinks he's being made, but no, you're going to get shot in the back of the head.
Well, we talked a lot about the gamesmanship last night, and I was thinking about the Electoral College. I was thinking about being smart with where I directed my efforts, and you were just like willy nilly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well played. Well played. Because I'm like bleeding out on the floor right now. No hope of being resuscitated.
All right. Well, I'll say go out there and vote for Steve. Make this a close battle. I don't want to landslide my co-host. Yeah,
it's already too late. It's like it's like 2/3 to 1/3 at this point.
That guy on Twitter, he already called it. Yeah. I've seen enough. Team Rob wins.
The funniest comment that we got about our episode last night was the person. We should pull up this tweet. I can't remember who said it, but
I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, I'll find it.
The Jedi mind trick that we both Jedi mind tricked each other out of putting Dick's Picks 4 in our thing. Very funny. And yeah, very well spoke. You know, I just have to say, like, I think that one thing that was lost in the poll was the idea of the desert island that like you are picking 4 Dick's Picks that you're only going to hear forever.
And that's it. Yeah.
So do you really want to take 4 and 8? Do you really want to take like 2 Dick's Picks that are like within 4 months of each other? I don't think you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You take 4 or 8.
My other excuse this morning was that I probably listened to Dick's Picks 4 so many times and I could just like sit there and like recreate the whole thing in my head. So I don't even need to have it on the desert island with me. I could just like sing the Dark Star to myself. So by the way, that was Dustin at Big Olive Man who came up with the tweet that Dustin, we Jedi mind tricked each other.
That was that was the funniest tweet that we got about that. So shout
and then there were
Dustin.
A bunch of sports analogies. It was like you'll have to explain why the Packers draft was
well, the person who said that they were like
1989
you know,
Packers draft, yeah,
yeah. That well, because in 1989 you had I believe Troy Aikman, Barry Sanders, and I forget who the third great player was, but like the Packers took Tony Mandarich second. Okay. It's a notorious draft that the Packers obviously took the worst, but and I forget exact. I don't know who the Tony Mandarich is in there. If you're saying that like Dick's Pick 17 is the Tony Mandarich, beg to differ, my friend. Kick that to the curb. I just have to say, like to the Twitter people out there, you're way too 70s centric. Way too much 70, and 70s are obviously great, but expand your horizons. And like we got some complaints too that we didn't take enough Brent era.
Right.
Take it up with Dick LaValla. They didn't pick much Brent.
Right. They did Brent dirty.
Yeah, that's not our fault. Yeah, and someone's like, oh, it's like, oh, you took like a Hornsby Vince show over Brent. Not much Brent to choose from. And the thing with Brent that I would say is that like Brent's glory years, 87 to 90, I think most people would agree with that. Yeah. No Dick's Picks, 87 to 90, all early 80s. And not to say that there's not good Brent in the early 80s, but we're not getting prime Brent in the Dick's Picks. So that's not our fault.
Right. Yeah.
Don't blame us for that.
We're working with what we got.
Dig up Dick LaValla. Take it up with him.
Yeah.
I mean, don't literally dig up Dick LaValla. We don't want you to do that.
Use a Ouija board.
Use a Ouija board.
Right.
Dave's Picks clearly has done better by Brent than the Dick's Pick series did, and that's a whole other issue, nothing to do with us. We're just listening to what was provided to us. We can't do anything with that. It's not our fault. Should we say 36 from the vault?
Yes.
Presented by Osiris.
Presented by Osiris, sponsored by Skull and Roses. Tell them about the Skull and Roses Festival.
Well, we should introduce ourselves. I'm Steve. And
sure. I'm Rob.
Yes. This is our second live episode of this week. And before we begin, we got to shout out to our sponsor, Skull and Roses Music Festival. It's a four-day festival taking place April 7th to the 10th. You got Phil Lesh and friends at this festival. You got Dark Star Orchestra, Melvin Seals and the JGB, Jackie Green, Keller Williams, Circles Around the Sun, Midnight North, Pink Talking Fish, which might be our next curveball. Maybe we'll dig out some Pink Talking Fish shows. Do a curveball on that. Because Pink Talking Fish, is that like, is that like Pink Floyd?
Pink Floyd, Talking Heads, Fish. So if we can't pick between three curveballs, we could just do Pink Talking Fish and cover them all.
Actually, we wanted to tell everyone we're only doing Pink Talking Fish shows in our last season.
For the whole season.
We got rid of the last batch of Dick's Picks. We're just doing strict Pink Talking Fish. We're downloading our favorite Pink Talking Fish shows from Live Archive. But no, like at Skull and Roses, you got all these bands. You got like artists. You got vendors.
Steve's band, Big Steve and the Ass Bites from Hell. So
Big Steve.
I don't know what Steve Parrish does, but I assume that's the Big Steve.
Oh yeah,
of Big Steve and the Ass Bites from Hell. Unless it's you. Do you have a side project you want to tell us about?
No. This is my sole project. I'm totally devoted to 36 from the Vault. Head to skullandroses.com to purchase your weekend and single day passes while supplies last. Supplies are going fast. Buy some tickets or else we may not have a season. We need you to kick them some money so they can kick us some money. So please do that. In this episode, we're going to be talking about curveballs. The curveballs that are going to be coming up ahead. In this season, we're going to talk about some of our previous curveballs, but we haven't decided what our curveball is yet. I think we're kind of locked in, and I think, like, really, it's about making Rob accept what the curveball is going to be. It's like that scene in No Country for Old Men, like, where Anton Chigurh is with that guy in the corner
the
store.
Gas station. Yeah.
And he's like, you know, this coin has been traveling for however many years getting to this point.
Right.
And the guy can't accept it. I'm your Anton Chigurh here.
And John Mayer is your kettle electrocutor.
Yes. John Mayer has been heading at you since Room for Square.
Right.
In 2001. 21 years. You like everything that's led in your life, all the decisions you've made, have been leading to the point where we're going to do a curveball on John Mayer, or maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. We have some other choices that we're going to go through.
Right.
We're soliciting choices from our listeners. We want to hear your inputs. I saw someone just said a GBV curveball, which could be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I know I'm on board with Guided by Voices. Guided by Voices and the Grateful Dead. I think there's like a fair amount of overlap there. In terms of the following.
In terms of devotion of the following.
Yeah.
Musically, not so much.
Not musically, but, you know, anyway.
They both have a bob. That's about as far as I would go.
That's true. Let's get to our mailbag. We're going to do a quick mailbag here before we get into our curveballs. This comes from Corey MacArthur. He didn't leave where he's from. Friends, if you write us, please tell us where you are. We want to know if you're from the St. Louis City of Blues, that's really important to Rob, or if you're from somewhere else, if you're from like San Francisco, you know, where the Fillmore is and Bill Graham or anywhere else.
We got some international fans on the first episode. So yeah, tune in for that. We've gone global apparently. I'm very excited. Yeah,
exactly. Global. Yeah. Maybe like Ukraine, any Ukraine listeners, maybe they can like kick us a listen. All right. Since this is our final leg of the 36 from the Vault tour, I'm curious what takeaways you guys have gained, what surprised you the most about this journey, and will you try to continue this trip with the dead to start a new journey with another band or are you just going to end with this season and never talk to each other again? Corey, good question, Corey. So he's wondering, like, what have we gained? What have we lost? Are we going to do like another? Are we going to do another season? Are we going to like talk to another band? I don't know. I think the answer is I don't know. We're trying to figure this out.
Yeah, we haven't like being. It's not a bit. We haven't decided what we're doing at the end of the season yet. So you know, in a way, this episode is a little bit of market research.
Yeah,
testing out the curveballs, testing out some ideas. Like,
yeah,
we're open to suggestion. We want to know what people want to hear us talk about. Because yeah, I mean, I think we're still going to talk to each other. We have to at least go to see Fish together in August.
Yeah, yeah. Rob and I are going to keep talking to each other. It's a matter of like whether we're going to do it like in front of microphones.
Right.
I mean, you know, one thing that I've talked about amongst each other is doing another season where we talk about the dead, but maybe we do more curveballs. Like maybe we talk about, this is one idea I had. I'm going to throw this out there. This is like a top secret idea. I'm going to share it with all of you. I had an idea like that we would like talk about like 1 year, like let's say 1991. And we talk about the dead in that year. But then we also talk about say like Neil Young and Crazy Horse that year. We talk about, you know, Sonic Youth in that year. We talk about Tom Petty in that year, Pearl Jam in that year. We intersperse it. So it's Grateful Dead, but it's also them in the context of other bands, and that's a season. So that's like one idea I had.
Yeah. So if like the chili of a season is mostly Grateful Dead right now with a little sprinkling of curveball.
Yeah.
It might be like you know, more ingredients. Like maybe half Grateful Dead with some other, you know, special ingredients thrown in.
So I don't know if that would be good. I don't know. That's just an idea.
36 and Co. There's an idea.
36 and Co. maybe like Rob or I die, and like another person gets like Ryan Storm replaces one of us.
We're going to promote him.
Is like John Mayer.
The next generation, bring him in.
Like maybe I develop like a really bad drug habit and I die by the end of the season, and then someone else comes in and replaces me. You know, maybe that's the blood that we need to keep going.
Anything can happen this season. Anything.
Yeah, who knows? So we're just throwing that out there. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. We'll figure it out. But yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. But like, let's just enjoy. We got like six picks to go, and we have a curveball. One more curveball.
Yeah.
So speaking of curveballs, let's dive into our curveball discussion. So like, let's review the curveballs we've done so far. So we've done Fish, we've done Radiohead, and we've done Bob Dylan. Now, out of the three of those, if you were to ask me, what would be the most controversial with our listeners? I would say Radiohead.
Yeah, we thought the Radiohead one would be the toughest pill to swallow for our fan base.
I figured Bob Dylan, people would be on board. We're talking about like 66 Dylan.
He played with the dead.
Played with the dead. Yeah. And the show that we talked about was, you know, him and Dylan and the Hawks, 66. Yeah.
Maybe the most famous rock concert of all time.
Yeah, you know, if you had a problem with that, we would have like blocked. We're going to block you permanently. You know, you can't have a problem with that. But by far, the most controversial thing we've done on the show is talk about Fish.
Right.
Deadheads, or a portion of Deadheads, still hate. Excuse me. I'm burping. Is it okay to burp on the show? We're live.
It's live. You gotta go. Take it. Yeah.
Did Bob ever burp on Mag or Jerry? I don't know. Anyway, Fish was by far the most controversial thing we did in terms of a curveball.
So you were more surprised by this than I was. I think you thought that the Fish and Grateful Dead communities had at last, you know, post fairly well at the very least. Become one in the same, that there were no longer the animosities of old. And yet you have had a first row seat for what the Fish and Goose communities like to do to each other.
I
don't think that's going away anytime soon either. Maybe that won't last for 25 years, but you see now what jam band friction can do to people that should be all on the same team. But as I've said the phrase many times on the podcast, the narcissism of small differences really comes into play here. You know, people who all like the same thing, but just like one degree removes, tend to be much, you know, more at odds than maybe people that listen have tastes, you know, that are not overlapping at all. So, we got some heat for covering fish. I mean, there's a lot of fish podcasts too. That's another thing. A lot of great fish podcasts on our friends, the Osiris Network.
Yeah.
So maybe people just didn't want one more fish podcast. But, you know, it was just one episode. It was about a great fish show.
Yeah. Well, you got a fish poster hanging up behind you. Look at you, you turncoat.
Yeah, exactly.
You Grateful Dead traitor there. it was... people were very irritated that we dragged fish into a Grateful Dead podcast. And it was pretty amazing to see the animosity that came about as a result of that. But it makes me think, okay, so I often hear people say when we throw out, okay, we're going to do a curveball, they always like want us to do Jerry Garcia Band or maybe like Phil and Friends or... I mean, no one's ever actually said Rat Dog, but, you know, or Mickey Hart's Rolling Thunder or
Planet Drum.
Billy and the Kids. I don't think anyone's ever said Billy and the Kids, but all these like Grateful Dead side projects. And we've always said like, well, we don't really want to do a Grateful Dead side project because it's a little too close.
Right.
But there is one Grateful Dead side project that we've talked about for several seasons from the beginning.
Right.
That I feel like is the number one prospective curveball. And that's a guy named John Mayer.
Yeah.
Can we call him a Grateful Dead side project at this point? let's classify him as that in our universe, that he's a Grateful Dead side project.
He was, even without knowing that he would eventually be part of the Grateful Dead universe, right?
Yeah, he is now. So, I mean, in terms of the curveballs, I feel like this is the one... If we're going to rank our curveballs, that we kind of have to do John Mayer. I feel like it's been leading to this. It's like the Book of Revelation at the end of the Bible.
Yeah.
It's like we're leading to this. You can't skip it. It's just a matter of like what exactly we're going to do for that. If we're going to talk about when the lights go out, maybe I'll dig out one of the recent Sob Rock shows that you can get on Live Archive.
Yeah, how many shows does he have on the archive? Does he have
like, a lot.
Pretty good representation? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, like, if you go on YouTube, John Mayer, like, his tour is very well documented.
Oh, really?
Every new tour stop on, like, his, you know, like, on YouTube, like, you can see, like, the entire show. Like, the heads are documenting John Mayer.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is it, like, the tapers from Dead Tour are now doing Mayer Tour? Or is it, like, a totally separate taper community.
I don't know. Honestly, like on re-listen, Mayer has like a pretty deep archive. Like you can go back to, I think at least the early 2010s.
I'm seeing 305 results for John Mayer on the archive. So that's pretty impressive. Like every one of them has a photo of him doing John Mayer guitar face.
Yeah. So lots of Mayer to choose from, you know, we can choose one of the official live albums. We can dig into the archives. Maybe like we'll solicit our listeners. I don't know if there's like a Mayer contingent of the 36 in the Vault community.
That's my follow-up question is like, is there like a Cornell of Mayer shows?
I don't know.
Like, this is the tape that you got to hear if you're a John Mayer fan.
It's a good question. I mean,
I want to do some research here. We can't just do a live album. I feel like that's cheating, right?
I mean, again, I've been digging into the Sob Rock archives. There's some good Sob Rock shows. So maybe we'll go into the Sob Rock era. But you know, but maybe we want to go into like the Lonesome Valley era of the early 2010s. You know, we'll have to see. I don't know. We'll have to find out like who is the the expert, like who's the jive goose of the John Mayer community,
right?
Like that is just studying this stuff so closely. I don't know if our listeners are going to be annoyed if we talk about John Mayer. I mean, I feel like John Mayer is, you know, like like, I like John Mayer. I like, right. I am actually listening to his live archive stuff because, like, I enjoy what he does. He's like a legitimately important figure, though, in Grateful Dead history. I really feel that Dead & Co. would not be as popular if not for John Mayer. And sure. We went to go see them at Wrigley Field. I think even you conceded. He played really well. He did a good job.
I wouldn't say my resistance has worn away entirely, but there are things that I like John Mayer for now. I'm adult enough to admit it. So maybe this will be the final thing that brings that wall crashing down. If you can convince me,
I think at the very least he's deserving of a thorough critical examination on our show.
Okay.
And even if it's going to be roast, like if you want to roast him, I feel like he should be addressed because I think he is an important figure.
He's been the Chekhov's gun of our entire run so far. So it's just inevitable that we do that. I have one other question. On the Sub Rock tour, does he play any Dead songs?
I don't know. No, I think he's doing straight Mayer.
So he doesn't even throw a bone to like the, hey, I found out about this guy through Dead & Co. Here's a song for the old heads.
I don't think so. Like shows I've heard, he's not. I think like on maybe previous tours he has, but
yeah.
You know, I think it's more just, you know, which I respect. I think he's like maybe trying to, you know, observe the church state separation there. And it's more just like, I'm going to acknowledge the dead by just playing longer guitar solos like that. Like that's not, but I'm not going to like slip in Fire on the Mountain as a, you know, I'm not going to slip Fire on the Mountain and then segue into Your Body is a Wonderland or something,
yeah.
You know, which could be pretty amazing. But maybe we'll dig in deep. Maybe there are instances of that where he's doing that.
Candidates. Yeah. So let's talk through some of the other ones. Cause we're always talking about this in the background. I feel like every time we get together, we're just like throwing curveballs at each other and figuring out what's going to stick. So the one I've been trying to get Steve to do probably since season two, cause we knew we wanted to do Fish. The first one is my favorite solo artist of all time. We've talked about it during the Dylan episode that you are a Dylan guy and I'm a Neil guy. I love Neil Young. I think he has the most, you know, extended, fascinating career of any other musician, has outlasted everybody else of his generation, except for Bob, I guess. And just is consistently doing weird things, not always great, but at least it's usually pretty interesting. And the other key thing we should say about curveballs is that we want to pick artists that what all these artists have in common is that they have pretty extensive archives that have been released in some shape or form, either through tape trading or via the band themselves. And that's fun because then you get to kind of not just, you know, pick a live album from their past that maybe they released commercially, but also think about why did they pick this? Like, what is the curation process here for why they put this show forward versus these other shows? And Neil has one of the craziest archives going right now through his website. His absolutely bonkers designed website, which is full of weird random shows that are really hard to find unless you know where to look for them on the timeline. He's always putting up things that he just apparently pulled off a shelf. Now he's releasing bootlegs, famous bootlegs from the past, but he's officially releasing them in like the original bootleg packaging. There's a ton to pick from Neil, and this has actually been a problem because Steve is like, all right, let's do this show. And I'm like, no, I want to do this show and this show and this show and this show. So
Jason Prince, he's in. He says hell yes to Neil Young.
He's on Team Rob. Yeah. So if we did Neil Young, I would want to do like a 12-hour marathon episode and talk about four different shows.
Well, we're not going to do that. See, that's the problem. Because you always just like want to do like a bunch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we got to pick one.
Yeah.
And I think like I was more like I want to do like 90s Neil. And because in terms of like the official live releases, like Down in the Rust Bucket, I think would be more fun to do. Cause like he's doing all these like early 70s acoustic thing. He's put out like so many acoustic shows from the early 70s,
right?
Which, you know, beautiful music, but it's a little repetitive at this point.
Right.
The thing with Neil, the problem with his archives versus The Dead or Bob Dylan, is that Neil himself is in charge of putting out stuff. And whereas Bob and The Dead, like, they are, like, they're not involved.
Yeah.
And it's actually worse that Neil's involved, you know, because, like, I think the fact that Dylan and The Dead, like, they're not involved.
Yeah.
And you have, like, you know, people who are in their camps that pick this stuff.
That are fans. Yeah.
Yeah, it's better. Yeah. Because Neil, I don't think he's not the best judge of what to put out.
Well, you know, you talked about this in your big Neil Young article recently, that Neil does not have the best quality control on what he puts out, especially over the last, like, decade or so.
And he never puts out complete shows. It's always, right, like, really severely edited.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And again, I feel like he's putting out a lot of kind of redundant releases. And I would love to see somebody that is a super Neil Young expert that could curate that stuff,
mm-hmm,
put out some stuff. I think that would be really cool. But it's like, do we need another, like, 1971 acoustic? Like, he just announced that there's, like, three more bootlegs coming out. I think two of them are, like, early 70s acoustic shows again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the other one is one of the shows I would love to cover, which is the Bottom Line 1974 show, which is,
right,
a classic. So, I mean, yeah, this is what I want to talk about. It's what I want to do an episode about Neil. Like, how is it different? I want to dig into this. How is it different when the artist himself is curating his career versus, like, a fan within the organization? So,
I mean, you know, like, Tuscaloosa, I think, is a great live record. And that's one of my favorite things he's done. But, like, he put out that, this was, like, a while ago. He's also on his box set, that 1970 show where it's, like, a 6-song electric set at the Fillmore.
Yeah. Oh yeah. With Crazy Horse. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, like, amazing, but it's, like, 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like, why is this so stingy?
I think that one was a complete set though. I think they might've only left one song off. That was from the days when the Fillmore sets, if you weren't The Dead.
Okay.
You played, like, two shows a night. You just played an hour-long set, basically.
That's, like, one of my favorite. I mean, that's amazing. I mean,
yeah.
Danny Whitten is still with them.
That's, like, the only real document of, like, Danny Whitten live Crazy Horse. And it's a classic, yeah.
I mean,
I want to cover that one, too.
Danny Whitten.
Put them all in there.
But we got to pick one. You know, I mean, look. I could have picked, like, 16 Bob Dylan things. I picked one. You got to pick one. We're not going to do 12 hours. You got to pick one. That's the only disagreement with us.
This has been the block. Yeah. This has been the block.
Because you're just like, you're going over the top. You got to pick one.
Yeah. Yeah. So
maybe, because there's also that one bootleg from 76 with Neil and Crazy Horse. And I think it's like from Chicago. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's the one to do, because there's an acoustic set and an electric set.
Yeah, yeah. There's a Tonight's the Night tour. I would love to do that. There's Crazy Horse in Japan. There's Neil with the International Harvesters. The Arc Weld stuff that Russ Bucket kind of gets at. Like,
I mean, Russ Bucket would be my... I mean, because I love 90s Neil. And I feel like that era is, like, a little less discussed.
Right.
Than, like, the 70s.
Yes.
So, the Russ Bucket, I'd be totally on board. He's doing Surfer Joe and the Sleaze on that record. It's like,
yeah,
like
a second. Surfer Joe and Mo the Sleaze, yeah.
It's like the second track. On, you know, so, if that's the one, then I would be on board with that. I think, because, like, Tonight's the Night, like, what are we going to say about Tonight's the Night? Although, I guess we did do Dylan 66 tour.
Yeah.
But, okay, but again, if you can settle on, like, one record, I'll be with you. But you always, like, want to do, like, three or four records. And it's like, no, we need to pare it down.
Well, right, so Neil Young.
It's a strong one.
Put a pin in it. Speaking of 90s Neil.
Yeah.
One of his bands.
Yeah, we talked about Pearl Jam. We don't spend too much time on Pearl Jam. I think that's purely because I have a book coming up, coming about Pearl Jam.
Yeah, say more about that, Steve. You got a book coming out?
I have a book coming out in September. It's called Long Road, Pearl Jam, and the Soundtrack of a Generation. We already did.
We did the Radiohead one.
Yeah, yeah.
Book. You might feel embarrassed about this, but I have no problem plugging your book with an episode. And we should say that Pearl Jam is one of the other bands that we've seen together. I mean, other than Fish, are there Fish and Pearl Jam? Are there any other bands we've actually seen?
I think that's it.
Dead and Co, I guess. Yeah.
But you were not digging Pearl Jam. You were like, you were not digging it.
I wasn't having a bad time.
Yeah, I know, but you were not digging it, though. Like, there was some eye rolls going on during the Masters of War, Mike McCready, guitar solo.
It was the Cubs song was what really got me. Oh, that was true. Where I almost walked out. But then I would have missed Bob O'Reilly, so.
Yeah, so, and Pearl Jam, of course, they have, like, a long history of, like, live recordings. We'd have many things to choose from. That's more of a Dark Horse choice, along with, like, our fourth choice, I think. Which would be Sonic Youth. I think Sonic Youth would be like a pretty cool thing to do.
Right.
Lots of live recordings to choose from there, like on their Bandcamp page.
Yeah, another band that's really digging into the archive lately. I mean, this would be the one, like, we always, you know, we don't want to piss everybody off, but, you know, with the curveball, we are thinking about maybe challenging our listeners a little bit. I feel like Sonic Youth would be the one that would be most sort of confrontational, let's say, as far as getting dead people to listen to something that's maybe a little out of their wheelhouse. Though Sonic Youth is constantly, especially lately, part of the jam band, are they a jam band or not conversation.
Oh, Cinnamon, which I love. Cinnamon just shouted out, hell yeah, to Sonic Youth.
Got to vote for Sonic Youth.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know, I mean, and again, with Sonic Youth, if we choose that, like, which era are we going to do? Are we going to do, like, you know, like, late 80s? Are we going to do, like, Diamond C era, you know, get that going? I don't know. I'm very intrigued by that. I mean, they just put out a great all-instrumental record on Three Low Bed Records. Shout out to Three Low Bed. In Out In, that's a very cool record. So I don't know, that could be good. But I feel like our last thing on our list would be even more controversial than Sonic Youth, and that'd be My Boys and Goose. If we do a Goose, the next band in the jam band lineage, Cinnamon's on top of that too. Cinnamon is like the Sonic Youth Goose
crossover. Audience.
me and Cinnamon are both on board with doing Goose. You know, last time I saw Goose was in February at First Avenue. They played Mississippi Half Step, the greatest Grateful Dead song of all time. It was pretty great.
In honor of Steve. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They knew I was there. They're like, we're in honor of half of 36 from the Vault. We're getting lots of Goose comments right now.
A lot of Goose support. And to be clear, this would sort of be similar to the John Mayer episode, given that Steve is now fully Goose-pilled. Steve believes, is in print, talking about Goose as the next big jam band hope.
Well, and it's not even like my opinion. I think that's just me reporting facts.
Steve is all, I've seen the future of jam bands, and it's true. Is Goose. Yeah.
And again, it's just me like looking at the sky and saying, oh, it's blue.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're calling it like you see it.
It's not even like I see it. I think it's just the way it is. But, maybe that's the next thing we need to do. We need to do, like, we did Fish. Right. We need to do Goose. You know, it's like the circle of life.
Well, like, I'm just saying that I remain Goose skeptical. I'm not a part of the Goose haters. That are very.
You're like Goose. Are you like Goose Switzerland? Would you say like you're? Are you
I have opinions, so I'm not quite Switzerland. I'm not abstaining from the Goose discourse. I kind of am, I guess. I'm not saying anything publicly, but you know, I've tried. I've given some tries to Goose. It hasn't quite clicked yet. So this would be the kind of curveball where it's a little bit of Steve trying to. Convince me to get on board the Goose train. So if you're interested in that, you know, give it a shout out.
Maybe by then it'll be like me allowing you to come on the train. Like you'll be begging to get on the train.
It's leaving the station.
So I feel like, okay, so if we Goose is too blues rock for Rob,
Do they play slide guitar? I haven't noticed that yet.
No slide. Okay. No, not at all. They're a little too ghost. They're a little too Ghostbusters rap for Rob. I really feel like, okay, if we're going to talk realistically, it's like John Mayer and then like Neil Young might be like the, those are like the two that we're maybe most considering.
I'm going to throw up a poll. It's going to be a non-binding poll, but I am actually interested. Like I said, we're doing market research here. What do the fans
think? Most people are going to say Neil Young. Most people are going to say Neil Young.
Maybe. I don't know. You never know. That's why you do the poll. I'm a scientist, man. You got to do
the poll. It's the same people.
Lou Reed. So I thought about putting Velvet Underground on this list, but the problem with the Velvet Underground, they had a very short timeline, done a very good, many good tapes.
You know, there's a great, on the self-titled album box set, there's a great live
show,
the Matrix show on there.
Oh, yeah.
You have the 36-minute Tom Petty, I'm with
Tom
you.
Tom Petty, we've talked about Petty.
And
the Live at Leeds. Yeah.
The 36-minute Sister Ray on there, pretty awesome. Lou goes on about the Ding Dong for a very long time. It's pretty great.
36 Ding Dongs from the vault.
36 Ding Dongs from the vault. I don't know. I still feel like it's John Mayer's to lose at this point.
It's probably going to be John Mayer unless we get pitched the most perfect idea that we can't turn down. But
we've been talking about Mayer since 2020. And I do think Mayer, it's a rich text in terms of things to talk about with Mayer.
Yeah. And it's good to get something a little newer. We kind of, we dipped back, you know, into the 60s last season.
I mean,
let's get something a little updated.
If you're going to throw a poll up there, I just want to say, don't frame it like John Mayer versus Neil Young. Frame it as, do you want to see John, do you want to see Rob react to the John Mayer Free Fallin'?
Yeah.
Or not? Like, don't you want to see Rob hear the John Mayer cover of Tom Petty's Free Fallin'? Like, really?
Can it live up to my imagination of what that sounds like?
Would you rather hear him listen to that or hear just Rob hear another amazing version of Like a Hurricane? You know? I really think, in terms of novelty, Rob reacting to John Mayer's Free Fallin'. And then from there, hearing John Mayer go into like some like Stevie Ray Vaughan style blues.
Yeah. See, I mean, I feel like you're making a pitch for us to do it as like a live, one of those YouTube reacts videos where I just sit there and listen to it and grimace for 2 hours.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But
somebody will have to film me while I listen to it the first time. Yeah.
You know, just to hear Rob say like, oh yeah, this Like a Hurricane is amazing. Yeah, it'd be pretty good. But to hear John Mayer play Free Fallin', I think that's a once in a lifetime opportunity for all of us that we all ought to value and treasure.
Well, we got some ideas. Keep throwing ideas to us on the Twitter. We like to hear them. We like to think about what it would look like. And stay tuned for season 4 and find out what we go with. We'll probably do it. We usually do it around the middle, right? Middle to back half.
So. Yeah. Otherwise, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of season 4, that's what we're going to cover on Thursday night. So we're taking a day off of tour rehearsals. That's my bad. I apologize. I got some kid responsibilities tomorrow night, but Thursday night we're coming back for one final night, and we're going to do just a quick preview of season 4. We're going to run down each volume and give you our sort of blind take on what we think it's going to be.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We'll respond to more listener questions and responses. But otherwise, before we head out again, we want to shout out Skull and Roses Festival.
Yeah. Check out their website. SkullandRoses.com. They've got a lot more information. They're still announcing stuff. They're apparently doing themes every night. I don't know if you scrolled down far enough to see this, but there's an Egyptian Nights theme. There's a Chinese New Year theme. There's a New Year's Eve theme, both Chinese New Year and New Year's Eve. And then Sunday, the night with Phil and friends, is Mardi Gras. So you know what that means. My favorite Grateful Dead cover, Ico Ico, is going to be played. probably by every band on the bill on Sunday, April 10th at the Skull and Roses Festival. So check it out. It's got a deep lineup. There's several bands I'm sure all of our listeners are down with. And if you happen to be out that way in Ventura County, buy a ticket. Head out there. Yeah. See some live music. Festivals are back, baby.
Yep. Should be a great time. Otherwise, that does it for this rehearsal episode, our second. And this was my burpiest. I was holding back burps this entire episode.
Did not drink seltzer during the
I apologize
tour
for that.
Rehearsal. Yeah.
I apologize, you know, take a burp back. Lots of burps in this episode. I apologize for all the burps, but I promise to be less burpy on Thursday. Well, I can't even promise that. I might be even more burpy on Thursday, but we'll be back. We'll be previewing our upcoming season, running through the Dick's Picks that we haven't talked about yet. It's pretty exciting. I got to say, like, this upcoming season seems like maybe the strongest slate of shows that we've had yet. Like, I've looked ahead and there's not a lot. There's not very many weak spots, if any weak spots. So it's going to be really exciting. I would like video versions of all season four apps. No, you don't, because we record these like pretty late and we're pretty haggard.
Right.
You know, at that time. So I don't know if you want to see that.
They're also very long. Do you really want to look at us for like 3 hours?
Yeah, I don't think so. Like by the end, like we're usually like stooped over. and, you know, the microphone is like on the ground as we're about to pass out. Anyway, thank you all. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for checking out the live show. If you're listening to us on the podcast, thanks for checking us out. We'll be back on Thursday for another live gig, our last rehearsal before our season premiere, April 11th. Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you on Thursday.
See you nights. Later.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.